Okay, so I'd like to cover two things from last week, although for those listening online, I know the last 15 minutes of share weren't recorded last week anyways. Yeah. But we'll address the following. So in Halacha Hey Kuf Pe'al Sefei, we had the following issue, that the Mechaber said, Hamakif es ha-katan chayiv, one who cuts the hair of a katan inappropriately is chayiv, aval mutu l'hakim so mikotam mosi isha, but you could cut the hair of a non-Jew or a woman, v'yish mistapkim b'davar, those that are unclear about it, and okay. But the katan mutu liyos nikaf mino mikotam, but a katan is permitted to have their hair cut by a non-Jew, not by a woman, sounds like, but by a non-Jew. Now, the Piskei Tshuva there raised the question from the Beis Ephraim. He says, I don't understand what case the Ramah is talking about. If the Ramah is talking about where the kid goes on his own, so the kid's going on his own. We don't need Shulchan Aruch to address the din of a kid going on his own in order to get a haircut. That's nothing to do. I mean, maybe there's a chinuch issue, but it shouldn't be included in this halacha. And if the case is where you went with a non-Jew to do, where you went with the kid to the barber and you gave the non-Jew the money and, you know, instructed him. So we have a word, we have a title for that. That's called Amir La'akum. That's called telling a non-Jew to do something that's prohibited. And that generally is not allowed. Now, we answered this possibly by suggesting that it's unclear what the halacha is by Amir La'akum, by non-Shabbos things. The Gemara itself raises that question over the course of a Metziah. And the Gemara itself seems to be inconclusive as to what the answer is, whether there is Amir La'akum for non-Kares violations. So that perhaps was one way, maybe the Ramah holds that such a thing, that we don't apply Amir La'akum L'Shari Surim. It's a little bit difficult to say, I didn't figure out a way to prove it, but that sounds like a little far-fetched that the Ramah would just put that here straight out. Yeah.
What's the
issue here? The issue here is getting the hair's cut. Katan, okay, but an adult's not allowed. Amaki is a katan chayiv. That was the.
I thought you were referring to katan mutalios nikof minoveko katan.
Yeah, that halacha. So the Beis Ephraim is asking on that. Why should that be okay? That's if the kid does it on his own. So what is the Rama mattering?
But if I have a kid do something he's not about to do.
What do you mean you have a kid? What
is tell that? My kid to turn on the light on Shabbos and start from here.
Right.
Kid is 8 years old. Should do it, of course.
Right.
That's an issur.
Yeah, that's an issur of chinuch.
So that's a real issur.
I think so, yeah. But this is what the Beis Ephraim suggests. What if the kid goes on his own? The kid goes on, there's nothing to discuss.
No, I understand.
If you bring the kid to the barber, so then that's Amir al-Akum. Amir al-Akum is an issur.
But Amir al-Akum to do something which is not really...
No, you're not allowed to cut the kid's hair. So if you tell a non-Jew to cut the kid's hair, you're telling a non-Jew to do something that you otherwise couldn't do. So that should be a problem of Amir al-Akum. Now, there is a bit of a question out there whether Amir al-Akum is an isser by non-Shabbos or non-Kari's issues, but that we probably paskin lahachmir on that question. So the Beis Ephraim says, so therefore I leave the Ramah as a tzarachian. So Rabbi Reisman suggested that perhaps an answer to this is found in the Chsam Sofer. It's a long Chsam Sofer. I skimmed through. I didn't see where he addressed this particular issue, but it's a very famous Chsam Sofer. It's a Chsam Sofer in Or Chaim Simon Pei Ches, Pei Gimel, where the Or Chaim, where the Chsam Sofer was asked a very difficult question of a parent of a kid, although I feel like the Shuvah itself is actually an adopted child, so that even mitigates the issues of Chinuch even more. Not the child who was severely handicapped, some kind of mental illness, and the parents wanted to know if they found an institution where he could be healed, but if you sent to that institution, part of the deal is that you can't bring him food, he has to be cut off, and he's going to be eating the veils and trefos during his period there. That's the issue that the Chsam Sofer addresses. So can you put a child in an institution where you know that he's going to be fed in the veils and trefos? That's the question. So Chsam Sofer responds saying, well, in terms of the issue of chinuch, you don't have a direct issue of chinuch, the kid's adopted. Then with regards to the issue of Amir La'akum, so Chsam Sofer suggests that Amir La'akum is only when you instruct a non-Jew to do a certain thing. But if you go into a situation where a non-Jew is going to act on their own, there actually is no violation of Amir al-Akum. I'm trying to think of what the... So it's therefore just in our case. So what is it? So what's the case that might be discussed here? What's the Ramah mattering? If the kid... If the kid goes on his own, he goes on his own. If you bring the kid in and give the instructions to the barber, so then that's an issue of Mir Lachum. But if you bring the kid to the barber shop and let him out, and he goes inside on his own, and you know that this barber is an expert in cutting off payas. You know that that's what the barber is going to do, but you don't actually tell him to go ahead and do it, so then there's no actual violation of Amir Lakum. Right? It's a big Kiddush Bab, right? So I mean, I'm just thinking what the ramifications of that could be. I mean, the issues of like an elevator on Shabbos. Right? So if you don't, you know that if you walk into the elevator man's going to push the floor that you're on. So maybe that's not even an issue of Amir Lakum anymore, according to the Chassam Sofer. That's what the implication perhaps is. There is the Chassam Sofer, by the way, at the end is besides the Shaila itself, which is has a lot of interesting features, the Chassam Sofer at the end concludes by saying that even though maybe Al Pidin this might be permitted to do, I don't recommend you doing it. You shouldn't put the kid in such an institution because it's better, because the non-kosher food is mitamtei mesalev. And better for a kid to be left a lav bar das and not chayv mitzvos than to be metamtim as a lev and for him to violate Yisurim the rest of his life because of that and be led to violate Yisurim. So that's a very interesting conclusion. First of all, just the conclusion itself is interesting. And beyond that, the suggestion that non-kosher food is metamtim as a lev when you eat it beheter, is a big, that's a big kiddush, right? In theory, we're saying you should go ahead and put yourself in an institution in order to get healed. I is going to be tatim as a leiv. Well, okay, that's not a practical halachic issue, but it's a reality. Right? That's what it sounds like there. So it's a reality that you're going to have to live with, so therefore it's better to avoid the entire situation. That's what Hassam Sofer says. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Chelik Beis, or Chaim Chelik Beis, Simin Peches, similar Shaila, but with a girl who needs to go into an institution, a similar issue. And he says that it's a, he quotes the Chassam Sofer, and says Chassam Sofer, you know, suggests that it's mutter for all the reasons that it's mutter, but the Chassam Sofer advises against it. But Rav Moshe says, but I think that the Chassam Sofer would permit this case. Why would he permit this case? Because this case, the girl's not even going to be a bardas. I mean, the case that the Chassam Sofer was dealing with is that he goes to an institution, and when he comes out, he actually can function in society and would not no longer be a shota. But in this case, that's not going to happen. We're just putting them in institutions so that they'll be able to gain something from life, be able to be in some sort of good environment. So because the person's never actually going to achieve a bar das status, we don't have to worry about the issues of metamti mesalev. That's what Rav Moshe writes.
Don't put her in.
So Rav Moshe said to put her in. Yeah, oh. You could put her in. Beyond that, I think his case was also that like the parents had... Well, the parents had heart issues and it was all stressful on the parents, etc. So Rav Moshe said to put it in. He says he thinks even the Chassam Sofer would say in my case that it's okay to put her in, because you don't have the outcome that the Chassam Sofer was afraid of is not likely at all in the case that I'm describing.
I get the impression that's been the practice for people that need to be detoxified. A lot. And the Mormon institutions. They check with all the rabbis and they said you got to send them, it's life and death. That may be more.
Yeah, so that life and death, it doesn't sound like this is life and death. I mean, Chassam Sofer said to don't put her in. Yeah. It doesn't sound like it's life and death. Life and death. Drugs sure. Are a life and death issue, yeah.
He's trying to open up something for religious people.
Yeah, he mentioned some, he mentioned on this shir, I don't know what he was referring to, but apparently the during World War I, they packaged meals for Jewish soldiers that were like in the hospital, that were injured in the hospital. And apparently, actually this has to do with the other, with the different answer, where, actually has to do with the second sugi here. The second sugi question that we left over from last week is in Sifvav. But in Sifvav it says, Isha eina mitzuva hakafa. The woman does not command the mitzvah of a kafa. The yesh omrim she'af al pishim uteres lahakiv peyas rosha asur lahakiv peyas rosha ish refilu hu katan. And some say that even though it's mutter for her to cut her own hair, she's still usher to cut the hair of a child and a father. So we pointed out last week, wait a second, that's a stam v'yish. Generally, you pass in a stam v'yish, you pass in like the stam, right? Sounds like a woman is permitted to do it, which seems to be against that Gemara, because Rav Huna's kids died because the mother was, right? So what's going on here? So we pointed to this Rabbi Akiva Eger last week. I just didn't put it together with what exactly he was saying. The suggestion that Rabbi Akiva Eger says that what's going on here is that the person is going to be getting such a haircut anyways. So then the woman can go ahead and cut that hair. And you show her that no, even though maybe you shouldn't. So what's that machlokas? That machlokas is around the issue of misayaya, the issue of the person's going to get the haircut anyway. So therefore, it's not lifting even for the person to do it. Right? They'll be able to get it accomplished. So now the question is: should the woman do it for him, or should he go ahead and do it himself? If the woman does it for him, if he does it himself, he violates an isser for every hair that he cuts. Mm-hmm. If the woman does it for him, so then maybe he's not violating all those isserim. So therefore, maybe you're better off with a woman doing it on behalf of the man than him going ahead and doing it himself. That's his suggestion. So that leads. That's a very interesting idea. That means that when it comes to issues of misayaya, lifnei iver, things like that, a person could start making cheshbonos. A person could start making equations as to, okay, well, what exactly is going to reach the better outcome? So he compared this to the famous shuva of Shlomo Zalman. Now, he presented it differently than I remember the shaila, in the way Rav Shachter presents it in a different way. I seem to recall seeing the way Rabbi Reisman presented it was that he was asked, there's an isser in Shulchan Aruch, that one is not permitted to give food to somebody if you know that they're not going to make a bracha, you know that they're not going to wash. So the way Rabbi Reisman presented it was, but if it's for Kiruv, so Shlomo Zalman permitted it, because you have an altruistic motive, you have a motive that things are going to be better. It's all for the best at the end anyway, so therefore you're allowed to do it even though you know that they might not wash and make brachos, etc. The way I heard the Shaila was, I didn't get a chance to look it up today, I'm pretty sure this was it though, was that the Shaila was regarding a donor meal that there was, that they were dedicating his yeshiva, and all these people came on this very hot day, and he provided the donors water. So his talmid came and asked him, "How can you provide them water? Don't you know they're not going to make a bracha?" He said, "Okay, but if I don't give them water, they're going to think we're all a bunch of they're going to think we have bad midos. So it's better that they think that we have good midos than that they don't make a bracha." So there's a little bit of a nuanced difference in Rabbi Reisman's case. You're hoping for the best also. I mean, the idea is that your goal is Kiruv. Shlomo Zalman's case didn't sound like that. It sounded more like they're non-religious. I know that they're not religious, but still it's good that they should think better of Talmid Chachamim. But either way, that presents the idea that you're allowed to make a cheshbon when it comes to Misayaya, that which way is actually going to turn out better, and that perhaps is what's going on here. Exactly. In Sifav.
Does that go over to idea of inviting someone to your house for Shabbos so you know they're going to drive?
It could go over.
Sure.
Sure. Now, that's already like three spots removed from this year. But yeah, there's different opinions. I remember Rabbi Willig, I once had this discussion with Rabbi Willig. He said that it has to be a cheshbon because we have a Gemara Maseches Yuma that says, right, why are you allowed to save the life of a child that's not born yet? You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for a baby that's not born because it would better be Docha one Shabbos and think about how many more Shabbos we're going to be. So he says, so you have to do a cheshbon. Right? So every time they're Mechal Shabbos, it has to have the value that they're going to keep two Shabbos in the future. Right? So I found that very hard to believe, that's really the way it's supposed to work out. But that's the way he worked it out. Others are, it's more, some that I say is completely asa, some say it's completely mutter, and many fall in between. All right, so we shift a little bit to the issue of beards, of Zakeno. But to get there, first we should go back to in the Beis Yosef, to towards the beginning, Kuf Pei Aleph, Siv Gimel, and then there's a Yud with a parentheses Aleph attached to it. It's towards the beginning of the Siman. There's an introduction, then there's Aleph Beis, and then there's Gimel, and Yud with a parenthesis, Aleph.
Yeah, that's it. Kuf Tzadi Aleph.
Okay. So he.
We're in.
You see it in the Torah itself. The Torah quotes both opinions. The Torah in Gimel says, "V'chasav Rambam she'enu chayev el betar," that you're only chayev for all of these issues. Sounds like for whether the beard or the hair, if you use a razor. Aval misparayim, if you use scissors, ke'ein tar, even like a razor, that you get a close cut with scissors, mutter. It's permissible. This says, no. If you use scissors and cut it very short on your hair, so that's going to be a problem. However, on your beard, it sounds like it's okay. Where is that machlokas coming out of? So it sounds, it's a machlokas, how to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, misparayim ke'in tar is mutter, and it's a machlokas. Is that going on both isurim that are listed there, both peyas arosh as well as zikno? Or is it only going on zikno and not peyas arosh? So that's the machlokas between the Rush and the Rambam. At the conclusion, if you look in the Beis Yosef, towards the end of that, before Dalad, about seven lines up, it says the Trumas Hadeshen. It says V'chasa b'Trumas Hadeshen Simin Reish Tzadi Hey. B'Shem Gilyon de Meseches Shvus. Now, I looked up this. I wasn't sure what he meant by the Gilyon de Meseches Shvus. Oh, the Gilyon. I'm sorry. The Gilyon is the is in the Tosos. Tosos quotes something called that. It refers to some kind of Gilyon in Tosos. So he quotes from there and says, Yesh nizharin kishemis parayim misparayim. There are those that should be careful when it comes to scissors. Bimisparayim she'ein osin betachton klum. That the bottom edge of the scissor, the bottom of the two scissors, shouldn't be doing anything. El be'elyon, except for with the top one. Meaning the bottom one shouldn't be able to cut unless you have the top scissor action. Because we're concerned that maybe the top one won't do any of the cutting. El betachlon will only be cut by the bottom one. V'hukamotar, and if only the bottom one is doing the cutting, so what do we call that? We call that a razor. Adkan. However, it's very difficult to be careful about this. So you should be careful that you don't cut the beard with scissors that are very sharp. Zakan, you come with it, zakan, not zakin, right? Zakan, right? Shu chadum is very sharp. Aval im eno chadud, if it's not so sharp, iyashar lachtoch beli dibuka elyon. But only if it's not so sharp, such that it will only cut with the top part. B'chasuv sham the asur galeach pas zakim misraim el sha'olam in a nizar medavi. Also includes there that in the name of the Ravid, I believe that's here that some say you should shave it at all, but the Olam is not Nizar in this. So that's the...
Do you mean that Pa'as is up on the part near the face?
No, I think you mean the whole... The beard. Well, whatever you hold is the beard. Yeah, I think it just means the corners of the beard, meaning that whatever is included in the Isser. Yeah. So... Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay, so if we take that, all right, then go to the Shulchan Aruch, and I'll just go back and forth to Sif Yud in the Shulchan Aruch. So, it says, Eino Chayiv, Al Hashchatas Peyas HaZakein, El Bitar. So you're not Chayiv for cutting the hair of the Zakan, unless you use a razor. With scissors is permissible, even if it's ke'ein tar. We point out that extra line there was not in the earlier part when he talked about the hair. When he talked about the hair, b'misparayim, he said if it's ke'ein tar, he didn't include the heter of it's ke'ein tar. Fine. When we kol makom comes the Rama, nisharim kishemistaprim b'misparayim, that you should be careful that when you cut with the scissors, she'asa hekef hakiluach b'chelek ha'elyon min ha'misparayim, that you use the cutting part of the top of the scissors, v'lo b'tachlon, not the bottom part, penyasa hakol im chelek ha'tachlon, lest you do the entire thing with the bottom part, in which case you're using a razor. Mihu nir de tachas ha'garon, under the throat, Ain lochish b'ze. You don't have to be worried about this. Hol ve'inu ikra makom ha'peyos. But it's not really the ikra makom ha'peyos. Anyways, you're not really violating the isur for cutting in that part anyways. And that's pretty far down what he is referring to there.
Is he disagreeing with the entire?
What do you mean?
No,
I don't think so. No,
he's saying you shouldn't do it like that.
No, he's just saying that if you use cane, if you do cane tar, you have to make sure that the bottom part of the scissors isn't so sharp.
What's
cane tar? Cane tar that looks like a razor. That you use a scissors.
I mean, the final result looks like a razor.
Yeah, you use scissors, but you cut.
It's not like a razor.
Right, you use scissors and you cut it very close. So
it's the product that looks like a razor, not the implement that looks like a razor.
Right, so as long as you didn't use a razor, you're okay. So the Ramah says, by the way, you have to be careful that if you're using very sharp scissors, so it could be that you just the bottom part's going to cut it itself, yeah, so then that's already going to be a problem. Okay, so from here we see, right, this is the premise for the heter for using electric shavers, right? That's what seems to be happening here. So I remember when I was in yeshiva, so Rav Tendler wanted to give a talk every week. One of the different Rosh Yeshiva give a Musar Shmuz, or Rav Tendler gave a Musar Shmuz, where he said that guys have to know halacha, and really everybody gets so uptight about what shavers to use. I remember from my father-in-law that all shavers are okay. Because if you, because by definition, the top blade is what's doing the cutting. Because if the bottom blade was doing the cutting, then you would end up with a bloody face. So by definition, the top blade must be what's doing the cutting. And then he said, all the shavers are there for okay. That was what he said. I remember that at that time. So most seem to have, that seems to be the simple explanation in the Shulchan Aruch itself, that the top, that because if you just take the bottom, the guard, and you put the guard against your skin, no hair is going to come off. It's only when you have the shaver working and the top blade is spinning, that's ultimately what's doing the cutting, and this is not. The two chumras that they have on that they suggest is the question about the lift and cut razor. Was the lift and cut the theory of it, the way it looks like in the commercials, is that it picks up the hair and then cuts underneath that, right? That's the way, if you look at the lift and cut commercials, that's what's going on. That's what they say is going on. So when we were once discussing with Rav Schachter, Schachter was like, yeah, it's a big problem because the commercials don't make any sense in reality. What does it mean? They're picking up each hair and cutting underneath that? It can't be that that's actually what's going on. It's just like making a very close cut. So yeah, I think his implication, I thought, was that it's okay. The other thing that Ray Reisman mentioned, I heard things about this, I didn't know where it had come from before, but apparently someone then asked the Chazon Ish, saying that should we aser these electric shavers for Bnei Torah? So Chazon Ish said something like, you should aser it for everyone. It was their aser. So what was his proof? Was he said that if you put ink on your hand and you take the, and you put a shaver on top of your hand, the ink's gonna come off. That was his, that's what he claimed. So therefore, it's a raya that's not just the hair that's being cut, but a layer of skin. In which case, it's not a scissor; it's more like a razor. That was his suggestion. So Reisman said, "So someone should do an experiment." He said, "I don't have a shaver in my house. I haven't had a shaver in my house for many years. But if you want to take an experiment, take one of the shavers and put it against your hand to see what the metzius is in that regard."
Supposedly, when you put on aftershave, if you do, it tingles.
Yeah, or the hair that was there now is now gone. It was someone's plucked out.
Yeah, if I put aftershave on my hand,
it tingles.
Okay, that's right. No, why? It means that my hand is rough.
No.
Yes, it does. It means that my hand is rough from the weather.
Why is it rough?
Why is it rough from the weather? Because that's what my hand is.
Why is it rough making tingles?
Because it means that
it has to be holes.
It's not necessarily coming from the shape.
That's right. It means that it's rough from the weather. It means that's the way the skin is.
Well,
it doesn't mean that that's the way people's skin is.
Okay.
All right. So that is the that's from what I could tell with regards to shaving. There's letters that have gone. I can't keep track of all this stuff. It seems like that there are those that that they make a little. If you take a lift and cut, they like bend it in a certain way, so that doesn't give as close of a shave.
Somebody in Baltimore, who when I'm posting Baltimore, I think the Chaf K said any shaver, and because there was some shaver that he, this shaver was okay, this shaver wasn't any shaver at all. You take a coin. Was it a coin? And you take a coin and you rub it once.
Yeah.
Across the blade, and now you're fine.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, this Shabbos, one of my kids wanted to borrow the other kid's shaver, and he said it was no good.
So that was that psak from the Star Kid. One rub with a coin, any brand, any shaver.
Sounds good to me. Okay, so there are a couple of interesting details here. One of them comes from the Noda Behuda. So the Noda Behuda in the Piskei Tshuva Sif Dalet. So this is actually the same Noda Behuda that was quoted in the Yad Ephraim in the previous section for some reason, but it's unclear what was there. We said we'd skip it to here. So lo and behold, it's in the Piskei Tshuva. So the Ayin Tshuvas Noda Behuda Tinyana Chelik Yerdeya Simen Pei. Shekasav Dil Inyan Giluach Peyas Azakein. Is afilu ein b'hasaros kidei netilas hazug chayiv delav kiblu chazal shir. Right? He says that with regards to shaving, even if the hair is not very long, such that you can't even grab it at all, so that's still going to be usur. That's still considered a shear of hair that you're cutting. Because we only find a shear of hair when it comes to para and the gayim, Venubas of al loshu klal gadol chator, but there's no application of that to the rest of the Torah. I mean, how long does a hair need to be in order for you to be chayiv this iser? So the Noda Behuda says anything as long as the hair exists. If you're cutting it in this way, it's going to be aser. The lo karavecha. Apparently, this was the Shoal, the one who asked the question. It's not like him. No, there is a shear when it comes to this. And according to that Rav, he had this brilliant idea. He says, well, wait a second. In order for you to violate this issur of cutting with a razor, the hair needs to be somewhat of a length. So why don't you cut it really short with misparayim? And then it should be mutter to cut it with a razor. And then you could cut it with the razor. So he says misparayim. V'achar kach lahavir tar ala basar b'makom shahayaser. Where the hair is, l'fisha b'tchila kashu lukech misparayim nishki luach. Because when you first cut it, that's just cutting. V'in ashchasa. V'achar kach b'eis ha'varas hatar. And then by the time when it's time to get rid of it, you're just getting rid of it, and there's not a cutting. And the Noda Behuda argued on him. That's still a big problem. That today they're going to do it this way, and tomorrow they're going to shave regularly. That he's going to end up cutting everything with the razor, so therefore the Noda Behuda says that it's no good. Reisman added something. Yeah.
It's no good because
his original reaction sounded like that the whole thing makes no sense,
right.
And then it sounds like the end here is that, well, and even if it sounds like lo yitzur, you're right, you're still not allowed to do it, was
right.
Going to be a problem,
right.
Now, Reisman added a following issue. Apparently Noda Behuda has why are you not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed? So the reason you're not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed is lest you not shave on Erev Yantif, right? So this is actually a shita that says it. If you shave Erev Yantif, you're allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed, right? We don't paskin that way. We do paskin that way, however, when it comes to cutting nails. If you cut your nails on Erev Yantif, you're allowed to cut them on Yantif itself. So apparently, in the Noda Behuda has a I didn't find it inside. This is just what I heard on Rabbi Reisman's shir. Apparently, Noda Behuda has a tshuva where he says that you're not allowed to rely on ever being a time to shave on Yantif. But you know, then he like puts in like this little, well, if some people want to be makel, so like I understand why they would want to be makel or something, and then he moves on. So what's going? But I don't want to reveal why I think so. He leaves that like so. Once he says something like that, so then you got to figure out what he's talking about. So apparently, a Talmud of the Noda Behuda writes, I'll explain to you what Pshat and the Rebbe was, because it was a big problem. Prague was a very modern city. There are people where he's always arguing against the. There's big maskilim there. It's a big issue. So apparently. He had two problems. Number one is that everyone wanted to shave on Chol HaMoed, and B, everyone wanted to use a razor. So the Noda Behuda was nervous that if he completely asks people from shaving on Chol HaMoed, so he knew people were doing this, and he thought that maybe he says he doesn't accept it in a tshuva as being mutter, but he hears that there is a havamina. So he figures if people are going to shave with a razor anyways, he might as well make sure that they shave as often as possible so that the hair never reaches the shear. Right? So as long as the hair never reaches the shear and you keep cutting with a razor daily, so then people won't violate the iser. The problem is what happens Chol Hamoed. Right, so if you're going to aser everybody from shaving on Chol Hamoed, and then after a week goes by, everybody's hair is going to be too long. So you're going to be machmer on a derabana, and everyone's going to be violating the orices instead. So therefore, he like kind of hinted that, well, maybe we should allow some people to shave over the course of Chol Hamoed. That way, they won't, not just in order for the Chol Hamoed issue, but for this issue, so that people won't be in violation of the iser of using a razor on the zakan, because the hair won't be long
enough. So that is a legitimate shita. I mean,
what do you mean? Is it a legitimate shita? He held that we shouldn't. It sounds to me like he held no. He said we don't pass in that way, and anyways we have problems. But apparently, he also quoted that there's a Chassam Sofer that seems to argue on the and says that, well, it makes some sense. Like you just have to so. Anyways, there's a little bit of a mystery out there as to what's going on, so to what he really held.
You never get down that close to the skin, is that a problem?
Huh?
You get a beard trim.
Right.
But you're not really getting down to the skin. You just...
I mean, the beard trimmers, those are scissors.
Well, you know, clippers, I guess.
Clippers. Yeah.
So those are not a problem if you don't go down to the
skin. No, but those are scissors anyways, that's not even.
Should be a problem,
yeah.
The person had his mustache, he's just part of the beard.
So it seems not. It seems like you could use a razor there. Now that's the next sif here. The next sif is the issue of, okay, what is considered usser? Actually, hey, just to knock off these Piskei Tshuvas here. The Piskei Tshuva and hey points to El Bitar. So this is the powder. This is the heter to use that powder. Habeis Hil Oser Lefasfes Be'evin Mesir Hasar. That the Beis Hil permitted people to use a stone to get rid of the hair. Vayim b'tshuva is no debihuda tinyana. Oh, hey.
Yeah.
So I see the no debihuda tinyana, chelik yodei simen pei aleph. Is that the same one as before? No, the one before was simen pei. This is pei aleph. Kasa de dafka be'evan aser. Sha'ayidei chidudo chotech. That to use a stone where it's sharp, that's a problem. Ka'osu shakorin pimson. Pimsenstein. I don't know what that is. About the meshichas hana, about the meshicha cream.
Humus?
That's a kind of...
Rough stone.
Okay, so to do that, that's a problem. But a rub, hanesham, ke'en tichtit, some kind of cement or something, the harifu shebo sori fasar, and the sharpness of that cream burns the hair, mutter, that would be okay. Well, that's getting rid of the hair without actually cutting it, without shaving it. Yeah. But if after you rub it on, there's still a little bit left, you can't cut it off with a knife. You just use your hand to get rid of it. Ayin sham. And it goes, I don't know what that is. The shemesh tzedakah about something else. Okay.
They used to use a wooden thing after they used the pillow. By my wife.
Huh?
I don't know.
As opposed to a knife,
her father used to use
that. That's to get the cream off.
Her father used to use whatever he put on his face.
But then you would use this thing to... Because apparently there was stuff still there, so you had to get rid of...
Yeah.
But besides the cream, it sounds like there was still hair there, so to get the hair, to knock the hair off, use something else, yeah. And then this under the throat thing, so this is by the Ayin Beheretev, Mashakasav Dehariza Lo Haya Megaleach Klal, that Dehari wouldn't shave at all. That's here in the Piskei Tshuva, Al Pi Kabbalah, people don't shave, and that's why Hasidim don't shave. That's why Lavaners don't shave, and that's just what they do. Okay. In Sif Yud Aleph, so Sif Yud Aleph, there's it's hard for me to understand, basically Sif quotes them, and then I found apparently there's a Halachapedia article that actually quotes the five Shitas Rishonim as to how to understand what the joints are that are the problem. Whether to include the mustache or the edges of the mustache or not. It seems like the mustache itself should be okay, which is, I guess, the source for the Amish. No, my father actually found out the source, the reason why Amish people shaved their mustaches is because they were rebelling against some German people, and at that time they held the mustaches. They had a they had big mustaches and no beards. Right. So to go against them, they shaved. They would shave their mustaches to go against them.
People say they don't want to look like the Jews.
No, it was a German thing. Uh-huh. They were persecuted by the Germans. Yeah.
Yes, so there's these different opinions, five different opinions that's quoted in the Beis Yosef, but the Rush concludes at the end saying that because it's so confusing, we just anything on the face that one should not, and that's what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Beis Hazakin im heim hey v'rabu behem adeus. There's many opinions. L'fichach yir shemaim yatzes. Kulin should be yotzei all of them. V'lo yavir tar al kol zikna. Don't bring a razor at all on your face at all. And then he adds in v'afilu tachas agarin, even under the throat. It sounds like all the way down. Now, I think the Taz points out that, yeah, that's the throat, not the back. The back of the neck is okay. So that's you go to the barber and they ask you if they'll use a razor on the back of your neck. So that's totally okay. But anywhere really on the throat is a problem and should be avoided. And then finally, in Sif Yud Beis, Isha Shiyesh LaZakin Muter Slashchi. So a woman who has a beard, so she can get rid of it. V'dina Bashchata Zakin Ha'ish K'dina Ba'Kafas Rosh Ha'ish. Now the issues of shaving the beard with regards to a woman doing a man is the same as Sif Vav Zayin Ches, meaning the same halachos that apply about who's allowed to do to whom. So the same thing that apply there would apply here as well. Yeah, and I think that's sufficient when it comes to these halachos. And next week, cross-dressing. Okay.